Father, we thank you for Heather. We thank you for your gifting in her life. Thank you for the blessing that she is to all of us. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just use her as your instrument to bring the word to us. And we pray, Lord, that our hearts and our ears would be open to receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, church. It's such a privilege always to bring the Word of God, and it's such a humbling experience to hear from Him what His heart is for the church when we minister up here. So this morning I have the joy of bringing you some thoughts about the beautiful woman called Mary in the Advent story, the mother of Jesus. And there is so much you could say about Mary. I mean, there's so many points in Scripture that refer to Mary, and I mean, we could be here for days, but we're going to just focus on her role in the Advent and the birth of Jesus. And I hope that something of what I share today, and I'm only making 3 points, so it's really easy to take home what I want to share today. I hope that something will sit with you. So I'm going to tell you up front what those 3 points are, and then if that's all you hear, that's fine. But if you can stay with me for the rest, that'll be great. So the very first thought about Mary is one of submission. And so we're going to look at what it means to have a submissive heart. And the second thought is just looking at the wonder of our faithful God as a fulfiller of prophecy. And God really is trustworthy, and we'll dig into that a little bit. And the third point is that when we fill ourselves up with Scripture, it overflows in worship. And so we're going to look at what it means to have a heart filled up on God that can then overflow in our time of worship. So we're going to camp in one chapter of Luke. So if you can open your Bibles, and we're just going to sit in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. I'm going to give it to you in 3 piecemeal. So anyway, we'll get there. Okay, verse 26 says, "In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' And she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son. And this is the 6th month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God.' And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." So I want you just to pick up on a couple of key words there. And this is not new to any of us, I don't think. But here we have a young girl. I mean, who here is between the ages of 14 and 16? Hands up. Probably 3 of you. Okay, can you 3 just stand? Can you imagine being their age? Kiara, what about you? How old are you? Imagine being that age, and you're just at home, and you're just going about your everyday, whatever you do at home, and suddenly an angel appears to you and says, I'm going to say these words, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." I think I would probably pass out from shock. Thanks, girls. She must have been quite like, oh my goodness, what is happening to me now? Really, like, why would an angel appear to you suddenly in the middle of your teenage years with a message like that? And to be called, oh, favored one of God, that's quite a big line. So it says she was greatly troubled and tried to discern what was going on, what the angel was going to be saying. And the Lord in his mercy, through the angel Gabriel, says to her, don't be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. So immediately there's a, okay, just get a grip on yourself. I'm going to tell you what this is all about. You don't need to be afraid. And then drops the bombshell. Bam, the landmine explodes. Okay, you're a virgin and you're betrothed, which means you've probably got plans. You're legally pledged to be married to Joseph. But guess what? You're going to conceive miraculously and bear a son. That's quite a big deal to comprehend in an adult, older, mature mind, let alone a 14, 15, possibly 16-year-old mind. And so we had this brief glimpse into her heart. She was trying to discern what this was all about. She gets this big news, big headlines. You're going to conceive and bear a son. And all the details of it. You're going to call him Jesus, and he's going to be on the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there will be no end. That's quite a lot to take in. It's quite a lot to take in. And yet in her humility, she just surrenders her will for her life as a future wife to Joseph and all the things she'd probably planned to do with day to day, and just says, behold, I am a servant of the Lord, and let it be to me according to your word. Wow, that blew me away every time I read that line. I still can't grasp and grapple with the depth and breadth and height of a simple statement like that. That she would just surrender herself so completely to God. It speaks of a heart already surrendered to a loving God. A heart already in an attitude of honoring and loving her Heavenly Father. It's so amazing how God even knew that she needed the truth to be stamped home with the incredible story that actually nothing's impossible for God, because your very old relative, you know, Elizabeth, the old one who's barren, has never had children. She's called the barren one in the Bible. She's in her sixth month of pregnancy. Like, I think Mary needed to hear that Elizabeth was pregnant for the gravity of the statement to actually hit home. Like, actually, yes, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. If he can do that for Elizabeth, my goodness, he can certainly conceive in me the Son of the Most High God to rule on the throne of David forever. Like, it's amazing how God knew she needed that little, like, a disclaimer at the bottom, but not in small print, like big headlines. Guess what? Here's another truth for you to ponder on. And so if we were to consider Mary's reaction, her immediate, I'm just going to surrender because I love God. I'm just going to surrender my life. I couldn't help but thinking of our matriculants and those who are in their early 20s, maybe those thinking about a career change or a relocation, and how actually would we just be willing to say, yeah, I've got plans, but actually be it to me according to your word. That's massive. Like, yeah, I'm going to get married. I'm legally pledged to Joseph, but okay, God, I'll just surrender all this to you. I don't know how it's going to figure out. I don't know how it's going to turn out. It's amazing that Jesus had, that Mary had such a heart of submission toward God. So there's really a challenge for us today to say, in this Christmas season, in this end of your holiday plan time, in this perhaps starting life after school season, or in your retirement season of your life, or maybe you're a stay-at-home mom season, or a big career developing season, or even just maybe everyday, ordinary, mundane season. Would you be willing to submit your will to Jesus for his purposes, like Mary did? She didn't have complete clarity about how it was all going to work out. She didn't know, like, how Joseph was going to react to the story. What would her family think? What would the community feel, would she be ostracized, how this was all going to work out. She didn't know all the details, and we don't either, about our lives. But we do read in Scripture that we can put our trust in Jesus, that we can trust him with every step of the way. And so I wanted to just read a couple of scriptures from Psalms and Proverbs to you. Psalm 25, you don't have to go there. Verse 4 and 5 says, make me to know your ways, O God, and teach me your paths. We have all sorts of amazing plans in our head. I know we all do. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and this is a great idea, and this is what I think is the best thing for me. But actually, we should replace that whole mindset with, teach me your paths, God. Just teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation, and for you I wait all day long. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. Not our way, his way. And Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, we all know this really well. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. And Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Don't we want the purpose of our lives to stand for something? We want God's purposes in our lives. And so we have to have a submissive will. We have to be willing to come under God and say, not my will, but yours. Like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was crucified. We need to be willing to deny ourselves and take up a cross and follow him. That means there's going to be some measure of sacrifice. I'm sure Mary had a lot of sacrifice to make in this path, this road that she walked. So that was the first point. Let's really look inwardly at our hearts and say, am I submitting to God's will today? We all know whether the answer is yes or no. We all know whether we're following our way or whether we're asking God to teach us his way. So that's the first thing we can learn from Mary. And then the second thing is that about 700 years, in fact, just more than 700 years before this meeting between the angel Gabriel and Mary, there was a prophecy from the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 that said, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isn't it beautiful? That's not just today that God figures out what the plan is for your life, or yesterday, or 100 years ago. But in this story, we realize more than 700 years before Mary was visited by the angel Gabriel and told she would conceive, God already had that in his mind as his plan. And we really, it's an incredible story. We really can put our faith in a God who is trustworthy. He is so trustworthy. Even the place of Jesus' birth, Bethlehem, was prophesied and foretold in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. So Mary's life had a very big part to play in a bigger narrative. I like to call it a big God narrative, big story. And there were so many prophecies that we read of in the Old Testament that were fulfilled in Mary's journey, in her life, that she could have sat down and told her children and grandchildren about. Do you know that when I went here, this is what God did? Beautiful stories. Let's list a couple of them. That Jesus would be born of a virgin first was the fulfilled prophecy. That he would be born in Bethlehem. We've just read that. That's from Micah 5. That they would be called to escape to Egypt. That was a prophecy in Hosea 1 verse 1, which was fulfilled in Matthew 2. We read about it in Matthew chapter 2 when God sends an angel to wake Joseph up and warn them of Herod's plan to kill Jesus. And there was a prophecy that a star would point the way to Jesus. There was a prophecy that gifts would be presented to him, that he would be worshipped by shepherds, that there would be great sorrow surrounding the time of Jesus' birth. We read in Jeremiah 31 about that. That was the time when Herod then made an announcement, okay, then all baby boys 2 years and younger would be killed, and there was a great time of sorrow. Even the entire lineage of Jesus was confirmed by Scripture. Now, I don't know about you, but I love how God confirms things. He's constantly saying, you can trust me. You can trust me. I knew about this. I planned for this to be. down to the details in the stars and the gifts and the location. He knew and knows all things about us. And so we actually can just be in awe of an incredibly faithful, generous, mighty, true God. We can trust his promises. We can trust our lives like Mary did. We can trust our lives to him. We can, we should, and we must, because he is such a faithful God. And so the second thing out of all of that is that actually it's not just about a surrendered life, but it's about putting our trust in a God who fulfills prophecy, in a God who's true to his word, to his promises. So Megan is going to illustrate those two points to us, for us today, in a beautiful dance. And then I'm going to make one last closing point. And so would you like to explain how the dance illustrates those?
Morning, everyone. So you will see a couple of things in the dance I'm about to do. One thing is a long cloth, which I'm about to pull through here before I dance. And that kind of represents a timeline. And just basically throughout history and then throughout eternity. And there are there's also going to be moments where I'm tying knots with the fabric, and this to me illustrates what Mary was like speaking, which you'll talk about I think still, what Mary was speaking about, and like her just tying together through the Holy Spirit's power in her, like these moments in history, and it's just really God speaking, prophesying through moments in history to each person. And similarly, he like speaks into each of our lives and touches each of our lives as we go, and we're all part of that story. And then the other thing you'll see in the beginning of the dance is really the submission part of Mary's heart. And it's quite a struggle, but it's a worthwhile struggle. Yeah.
Wasn't that beautiful? So Mary's life was part of not just what happened in her life, and that story in the beginning of Luke 1 was not just about her life. It was about all of eternity. And all of what had been before, it was a big story, a big, big story. And you and I are part of that same story. We're not separate or out of that story. God has lovingly drawn us in through the birth of his beautiful precious son, Jesus, through Mary. So the third point I want to make this morning is a very short one, and it's about what's happening in our hearts. So let's carry on. We were camping in Luke chapter 1. Let's pick up at verse 39. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Isn't it incredible? The Holy Spirit would come upon Elizabeth, a woman in her old age, 6 months pregnant, who's always been barren, and the baby in her womb leaps as it's overcome by the Holy Spirit in response to the presence of the Lord in Mary's womb as she's visiting. And Elizabeth gets a revelation, a divine revelation from God that this is the Lord, and says, why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Isn't it beautiful? No one told Elizabeth that Mary was carrying the Son of God. And then she affirms Mary in her journey and says, "Blessed are you for believing the fulfillment of what's been spoken to you. I love that. God is such a personal God and is so concerned with every detail of our lives. And Mary, so overcome by this encounter with Elizabeth, where the Holy Spirit has come upon her relative and said these amazing things to her, Mary bursts into song, which I'm not going to do. And her heart, which is full of scripture and the beauty of the Lord and her encounter with the angel, and she's obviously been pondering this as she's journeyed into the hill country, into Judah, her heart just pours out praise to God, beautiful praise to God. And she actually sings a song of praise called the Magnificat, which we're going to listen to now, that references more than 40 Old Testament scripture truths. And so her heart must have been full of the Lord. She knew these truths of old. She'd heard them. She'd been told them. She'd pondered them in her heart long and hard and burst into praise. And it's a bit like a poem, her song, and it's divided into three parts. The first part is simply giving thanks to God for making her the mother of our promised Savior. Then she speaks of God's love for the poor and the humble and his acts of judgment against those who would oppress the poor and the humble. And then she delights in God's faithfulness to his covenant people over so many generations. And it's a beautiful poem of worship to God. And I imagine it would have been a bit like Megan's dance, just a spontaneous explosion, outburst, pouring of love to God. And so instead of me reading those words, I'm going to play you the words to listen to. They're sung by a woman, so imagine in your mind that it's Mary just singing to Jesus, and then we're going to respond.
My soul. My
So that's the Magnificat, which is a beautiful poem of worship to God. And I don't know what Mary's melody was. None of us will know the tune. But the words are there, and the words remain true today. So I thought from this aspect, so this last part of Luke chapter 1, it's verse 46 to 55, for those who are taking notes, you'll find all those beautiful words. There's just one response that we can make today, and that is to say, Lord, make me like Mary. Fill me up with your truth that I can worship you. Not worship you out of an empty heart or out of an empty life, but worship you out of a full overflow because you filled me up. So can we pray this morning? Lord Jesus, we want to come before you ahead of this Christmas season where so often we get lost in busyness and family and holiday or wrapping up work and deadlines. Or maybe financial strain becomes something we get lost in. Whatever it might be, Lord, we want to actually bring all that before you and just lay it down and say, our hearts matter much more before you than our schedule. And so we want to say, we want to submit our hearts to you afresh today. Like Mary, be it unto me according to your word. Pray that you would take our hearts today and shape them and mold them and open them up to all the truths we find in your word. Truths that set us free. Truths that bring life. Truths that give us purpose and destiny. And I pray, Lord, that you would remind us that you are so trustworthy. That the fulfillment of multiple prophecies at this time in Scripture can give us such an anchor for our faith, that what you spoke hundreds of years before will be fulfilled, was fulfilled. What you've spoken hundreds of years ago will still be fulfilled in your coming. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray that our hearts would be filled up on Scripture, filled up on your word, filled up on truths from your heart to us, and that that would set us free to worship you out of an overflow, not an empty cup. But that in this Christmas season, we would delight in the overflow of a heart filled up on you. And so may we learn much from Mary today and from your heart, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.